things, sometimes for children and grown-ups, time seems to work differently, doesn't it? There's a different way of experiencing time. And here's the thing, according to this psalm, that's how it is with God. But it really is true, because he really does experience time differently to us. It is not the same for him, because God is eternal. He's everlasting. He wasn't just there at the start of the world, he was there even before. He's not just going to be there, as it were, at the end of our history. He's going to be there even beyond. Just look down. What does it say in verse 2? Before the mountains were born, the most ancient parts of the world we can imagine, or you brought forth the whole world before the earth was made, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You were there way before. Way before. You see it all. So God, there is no beginning, there is no end, and he sees the whole. And at any time in history, any time in our lives, he's still there, because he is forever. He is eternal. And that's why in the Bible, don't be surprised when God says this is what's going to happen years to come, because he can see it even then, see it even now. I wonder if it's a bit like this. For us, you know, our lives and our history is a bit like a line, isn't it? There's a beginning and there's an end, and various stuff going on in between. Not so for God. He is forever. There is no beginning and no end in a circle, is there? There is in a line, but not in a circle. And so is it not like this? Let's see if I can get this to stick on. There we go. There is our history. There are our lives with all their different moments, and there is God forever. Around, before and after, and every stage in between. The eternal God. Do you see what that means for us? Wherever you've been this week, wherever you're going next week, God is there. That is why he is our safe place. He's forever, always there. Do you remember, actually, we talked about this a few weeks, I am who I am. He's I am, wherever. But there's more. Let's move on. Did you notice in the psalm there was a word which may slightly have jarred with you? A word you might have been a bit surprised to hear used about God. And it's used, I reckon, about 5 times, maybe more, in this psalm. I wonder if anybody would like to hazard a guess. What was the surprising word you might have heard about God? Shall I tell you? It's the word angry. It talks about God's anger quite a lot in this psalm. And maybe you're thinking, well, hang on a minute, Rick. Surely anger. Bad thing. We're told in the Bible, aren't we, to not get angry or not get angry quickly. Well, yeah, that's kind of true. But isn't there such a thing as holy anger? Look at those pictures, as I guess we've all been looking at, of Mariupol. Look at the people fleeing. And as you see all those things going on and this awful, does something not rise up within you and say, that's wrong? A kind of anger grows, a kind of holy anger. Something should be done. We may not know the answer, but something should be done, because it's just not fair. Friends, if you and I think that, with the little love that's in our hearts, imagine how God feels. Imagine God's response when he sees such terrible things going on. He doesn't just, he feels that, and he also, something must be done. And we know that, don't we? Because of quite a famous story in the Gospels. Do you remember that day when Jesus came to the temple? God's place, his father's house. And he was looking forward to prayer and lots of people being able to come in. And he couldn't get there because there were so many money changers. Do you remember? What happened inside Jesus? Well, we know what, he didn't perhaps say exactly how he felt, but we can see what really happened. He was outraged, wasn't he? He hated it when he saw God being despised and other people being harmed. And so he turns the tables. John tells us he even made a whip and started, get out, stop doing it, treating my father's house this way. Jesus hated it when he saw people being harmed and God being dishonored. And friends, that's another reason God is your safe place. Because he too feels it when things are wrong, when troubles come, when it's not right. And so he promises, remember? Jesus talks about this several times. He's coming back, and when he comes, he'll put it right. Because he's absolutely fair. And actually, it's not just on that great day when Jesus returns. Because there are lots of little outposts of fairness even now in our lives, aren't there? When you feel that feeling, that's not right, and you do something about it, that's God using you. There can be a right, holy anger. We need to be careful how we express it, but there's a rightness to that as we seek fairness and justice. God is forever. God is utterly fair. And there's one more reason. God is the best safe place of all. I wonder if you remember when you started secondary school. I still do. I know it was all those eons ago, but I remember it. And there was a lad who was a friend of mine called Bev, and he was a couple of years ahead of me, and he knew I was quite nervous about going to big school. And so I remember him saying, we met up in the school holidays, and he said, Rick, I make a promise to you. He said, you get me trouble, you let me know. Anybody picks on you, you talk to me, and they've got me to deal with. He made a promise. He was my friend. He was going to care for me. That too is in this psalm. Let's come to the close of the psalm. A lovely prayer in verse 14. And I'd say take this prayer away for yourself this week. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. There's a special word there, unfailing love. In the Old Testament, it's talking about God's promised love, his covenant love, and God never, never breaks his promises. And that's the promise. My friend Bev's promise was good, but nothing like this promise. A friend we can always rely on. Folks, do you begin to see why we know God is our safest place of all? He is forever at every moment. Utterly fair. He'll start working on it now, but he's going to put it right. And he will also be the friend whose love never fails, doesn't get tired, doesn't get bored, doesn't get uninterested, doesn't kind of fly off the handle because we've let him down again. Forever fair friend. I want to finish with one final picture to show you. This is a member of my family. Well, sort of. Yeah, she is. She's a remote relative. This is my uncle's sister. Her name is Jenny. Jenny, talk about troubles coming firing at you. They've certainly come for her. When she still had young children, she got encephalitis, brain injury, and was reduced to, she couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair for years and years. And then, as sometimes happens, actually it led to the breakup of her marriage and her family. It all began to fall apart. And then, just in the last decade, she now has cancer, which is not going to get better. And I just saw her. She was channel just this week, Jay John's YouTube channel, if you want to follow it. And she was interviewed by him. And after all these years, and after all she's been through, she said, yes, at times I've got quite annoyed with God, frustrated, I've not understood, but you know, he's my only comfort, and he's my only hope. Because she has found, Jenny Rees-Larkham, that through all the ups and downs, through all the troubles that have come, there is one forever fair friend. You know his name. Let's hear it again. Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our safe place, our home throughout all generations. That includes today. That includes next week, next year. It includes forever. So when the troubles come firing, you know where to hide. Amen.